As we continue to celebrate this Christmas octave on this Sunday after Christmas, the church proposes for us the model of the Holy Family. And it's a feast day that's reached its prominence in our kind of modern era, precisely when social and cultural trends seem to be very much against the notion of the family. And so there's much moral exhortation on our readings. And we, of course, have the model of the Holy Family. And our gospel today, which is a great coincidence that on this day, December 28th, is usually celebrated the Feast of the Holy Innocents, we have the gospel of the Holy Family in their dealing with Herod the tyrant. Now, in their great wisdom, or whatever wisdom, the compilers of the lectionary left out those two verses about the massacre of the innocents that happens right in the middle of the gospel today. And yet that's very important when we think about what it means for the Holy Family to be this model of family life. Oftentimes, perhaps, we might have in our minds an image of Mary and Joseph and the infant Jesus that's very kind of idealized, maybe kind of wooden and concrete like the nativity scene over there. It's all very quiet and seems very perfect. And yet our gospel today reminds us that the marriage of Mary and Joseph and their parenting of Jesus doesn't just occur in perpetual peace and tranquility and a kind of perfect idealized life. Instead, we have Joseph taking Mary and the infant Jesus in the middle of the night, fleeing for their lives, over to Egypt, a place that was probably foreign for Mary. Maybe for Joseph, maybe not. And they stay there in exile for a number of years. This flight to Egypt is traditionally considered one of the sorrows of the Virgin Mary. So it's worthwhile to consider and reflect upon Mary's heart and mind in this. The fear, but also perhaps the sorrow, and even perhaps feelings of guilt when she learned about what happened back in Israel with those mothers who lost their children because Herod was so insecure in his authority. And even Herod in this story as a kind of anti-model for us. When in our first reading and our second reading, we hear about fathers and their authority and the respect that is owed them from both wives and children. When we think about our family relationships, if we act like tyrants in our families, if we act like Herod, it usually becomes all about ourselves. And the relationships that we have within our families, as with all relationships, become very one-sided. I'm the oldest of six kids, and there's 18 years between myself and my youngest brother. So lest anybody suspect that I have some idealized image of family life and don't really know what it's all about, I don't know what it's like to be a parent, but I have some idea. It's really important when we are in these human relationships that we always remember both sides of the equation. Just as wives are supposed to obey their husbands, so it presumes that husbands are loving their wives. And that love that is Christ-like, that is self-giving. Likewise, just as children are exhorted to respect their fathers and their mothers, so our second reading tells us that fathers should not provoke their kids. And so all of this presumes not power dynamics, not the image of the tyrant who needs to have control over everything and is all about himself and is so insecure that the tyrant needs to kind of destroy whatever obstacles might threaten that power and authority. That's usually how our world works and functions. But in our readings today, all of those relationships presume at the heart of them that love of God, that love that is God, that love that, on the one hand, always seeks the good of the other before the good of itself. And Mary and Joseph in our gospel today, they flee to Egypt not for their own good, but for the good of Jesus, for the good of their obedience to what they've been called to in this great plan of God. And that love reaches a higher level, which parents would probably know much more than I do. But that love that is that self-sacrifice, that doesn't just do what's good for the other, but actually denies oneself a good for the good of the other. That self-giving love that we see exemplified in our Lord on the cross, but that we also see exemplified in Mary and Joseph and what they undertake in order to be those parents that God has called them to be. And so we see the Holy Family not in a Christmas card image, but we see the Holy Family in real life in our gospel today. Those virtues of love, of compassion, of patience, of forbearance are all very nice when we think about them in the abstract. And yet, as our gospel told us today, those virtues are enacted within that chaos, within those difficulties, within that suffering. And that's the true test of our virtues, that we don't just love when it's easy and when it's convenient, but that we continue to love, we continue to be patient, we continue to be forgiving when it's difficult. And so we ask that the Holy Family this Sunday intercede for us, for our families. They are the Holy Family, not the ideal family. The ideal family that we see perhaps in cultural images always seems to be perpetually happy without problems. Or if there are problems, they're kind of easily solved. We know that reality is much different than that. And so let's not make the Holy Family the idealized family. The Holy Family is holy because they continued to be holy in those times of difficulty, in those times of struggle, in those times of suffering. And indeed, as we heard in our gospel today, there is great suffering associated with this flight to Egypt. And the vocation to be a mother and father for Mary and Joseph were not easy. It's not easy for Mary at any point, if we think about it, from the Annunciation all the way to the cross. She remains loving her son, offering herself for the good of her son. And then even after his ascension and at Pentecost, she is there, still loving, patient, loving now to the apostles, that kind of ragtag crew that Jesus calls and forms to be holy himself, those foundations of the church. And so let us ask this morning for the Holy Family to intercede for us and our families, that we might be drawn into that love of God that helps us to live our lives, to be who we were created to be, and to truly love those around us. Those, of course, that we don't choose to be with, but rather whom God has given us to learn how to love, to learn how to grow in virtue. St. Joseph, St. Mary, and our Lord, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.